We hear this all the time.
There are so many updates and tons of community work happening. It's hard to keep up. How do I follow it all?
Here is your answer. Listen to the Gutenberg Changelog. Hello and welcome to our eighth episode of Gutenberg Changelog. I'm Birgit Pauli Haag, curator of the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Mark Urain, designer at Automattic and core contributor to WordPress. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Hey, very good. It feels good to be back. I am pretty positive today. I actually spent some time organizing my garage at home, and that's always a huge accomplishment, or feels like a huge accomplishment. Implementing some better organizational practices with the team, and ultimately just getting ready for WordCamp US coming up and the release of WordPress 5.3 shortly thereafter. How have you been?
Oh, I've been well, thank you. I just returned from a trip to Europe and have a little bit of re-entry issues with a little robots not behaving and jet lag and all. And I'm also deep into organizing WordCamp US, which will take place next week. If any of our listeners would want to say hi while they're there, that would be awesome. I'm part of the sponsor team, so my place will be in the sponsor hall for most of Friday and Saturday. There's a big table there that has a signed sponsor team, so that will be that. Yeah, come and say hello.
Birgit, I will be sure to do that, because for our listeners, Birgit and I have never met in person yet, so this will be the first time.
Oh my, yes. That's so true, and I'm excited about that.
Yes.
So for our show today, we have on the community contributions an announcement that the first newsroom launched with Newspack, and more sites are due to come. Newspack is the open-sourced collection of packages for publishers by Automattic, and the Chilean news website El Soberano relaunched today with the Newspack plugin, not today, a week ago, becoming the first live site to use the new platform designed for small and medium-sized publishers. BD reported on the Newspack site blog, and of course we have the link in the show notes. The sexiest thing about Newspack is the possibility of putting together all the blocks of content and adapt them to your needs. Ana Arrigada, co-founder and executive director of the El Soberano said, Newspack had easily configured modules to bring the content in flexible ways, either manually or by categories or tags, to give some examples. So if you want to check it out, Newspack Automattic has open sourced them on GitHub, and we will have the links to the Newspack theme, the Newspack plugin, the Newspack blocks, the ads, content converter, and the development environment in the show notes. I think this is a good and an excellent development in terms of democratizing not only publishing, but also help local news and those who report on saying truth to power in any of the countries, and they can use this kind of system for it.
For sure. I've been watching this whole project go down at Automattic and seeing the great work that everybody involved has been partaking on it. They really wanted to use Gutenberg and make it flexible enough and ease of use for people to just really come on and do what they need to do in a beautiful way. And I think they've done that really well, that team, the Newspack team. I'm so proud of the accomplishments that they did. Hopefully that continues to grow and other news media outlets, sources really start using this and it just takes off.
Yeah, I definitely like the plugin has also some business models for the newspapers, like memberships or membership content, restricted sites, contribution. So there's quite a few things that are in there that any newspaper would need that needs to have some revenue and pay their journalists. So,
Next up, Birgit, we wanted to talk a little bit about Q, or John Q. He's doing some live coding sessions on YouTube recently, which have been really fun to watch. I know you've watched a few. I have, and the latest one, most recently, he created a card component in React and showed kind of how to hook it up with Storybook and some other things. And it was a lot of fun just getting some insight on a developer's process through the journey on and how they think things through. And it was so neat to just watch him move along through the code and trial and error his way into a component that he built. And it was very informative. Do you have anything more about watching the videos of Q?
Well, it was definitely a deep insight into the design process, kind of, yeah, how far can we push a card component, because it can be not only just show a featured image and an excerpt and a button, but it also could be part of a model. It can also be some kind of a form that you can put in there. And it's so many ways to go with this kind of component, and he tried to explore that. And the process of exploring these things was really nice to see, is how a designer kind of approached that. That's
really right. We'll include the link to his YouTube channel below in the show notes. So
yeah, and one other community contribution is the postmortem of Gutenberg the launch, so we can embrace Gutenberg the product. And it was written by Leonardo Losovitz at the Smashing magazine. He takes us on the journey from, I was quite opposed to Gutenberg, over to, I have lately found myself using Gutenberg more and more, to nowadays I'm actually enjoying it.
I love that. You're good. I love it.
Yeah. And it was a great article also for those who are still having reservations of using Gutenberg. He also worked through that part. Gutenberg the launch has quite been controversial in 17 and 18. And some of what he finds is that some of the people in WordPress are still hung up on that, angry about some of that. And that keeps them to actually embrace Gutenberg as an innovation and the next phase for WordPress, or the future of WordPress. And he hopes that a lot of people kind of take that anger about the launch away to actually see the product and how well it's coming.
The way he talks about how people are angry at Gutenberg, you know, they aren't, it's not that they're angry with it or how it works. They're just angry at it because it is what it is. And it just disrupted the flow of WordPress as they knew it. And despite the drawbacks that were recorded early in the process, right, with performance and accessibility, a lot of these things have been overcome or improved greatly since the release of Gutenberg, or the merge of it into core. And he really promotes it in a good light, which I think both you and I appreciate.
Absolutely. The core and design team has been busy getting WordPress 5.3, the release candidate, out the door. Release candidate 2 was published today, and we're recording this on October 22nd, 2019. And the blog editor merged with core seems to be finished. And then because the project space is empty for that. Last Wednesday, the Gutenberg plugin version 6.7 was released, and the bug fixes have been included into WordPress 5.3 release candidates. They were backported to that. But let's take a closer look at it. A highly discussed feature on Gutenberg has been providing gradient backgrounds for blocks. And in this release, it's now available for the button block. I just tested it on our beta site that I'm getting ready for my WordPress meetup on Thursday, where the topic is what's going to be in 5.3, and it's probably a 5-hour meetup.
We should probably all have those meetups.
Yeah. But it's the early version of gradient background for any of the blocks, but the button block is kind of such a confined component that you can really experiment with it. And the gradient presets that the developers and designers came up with. There are some attractive and good variations for most websites. And let us know, dear listener, if you try them out, what you think about them.
It was a good place to start, I think, on that button block. And just to really kind of figure out how the component might work, the interface. And there's still a ways to go with this whole interface as well, you know, to really dig in further with varying gradients, to be able to add more, the way themes integrate with it. Like, so all of this still needs to be worked out, but great start, I think.
Yeah, me too. So in his release notes, Ria Benguela highlighted that this release also introduces a storybook for developers. And this is a little excursus into that. What is a storybook in this context? And a storybook is an open source tool for developing UI components in isolation for React, Vue, and Angular. And it makes building UIs organized and efficient. Storybook runs its own web server, separate from your React app, and provides a catalog view for the components that you choose, that you can choose how to use it. So this is an exciting tool and helps in figuring out how each WordPress component works, behaves, and has the various use cases. Of course, we'll provide the link in the show notes at the gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. Marcus Kazmierczak also put a tutorial together on how to take an existing component and create a storybook story for it.
So that sounds pretty interesting, because I know there are some, like, there's some technical hurdles, if I'm right, about getting those components into Storybook. And I know I'm not savvy with them all quite yet myself, but yeah, this whole storybook option was originally, I believe, introduced by Enrique Quiros in a PR, and got merged in. And it's just a beautiful, like, visual way to see these components and be able to copy down the code, pull from them, change things up if it's live editing, and having this as part of the Gutenberg package. It's really great.
And if you want to contribute, you can kind of follow along with Marcus on his tutorial and grab some of the components. There still need stories for it, if you want to do it. So, Mark, what else is in the Gutenberg release?
Yeah, so it looks like in 6.7 here, we had about 4 enhancements. I'll run through some of those. Polishing the font size picker design. Let's see, use body color for the post publish panel, limit the width and height of the pinnable plugin icon, and add a max width to the search block input. Just 4 of them there. Nothing super spectacular, but they are enhancements. And it shows that the team, while being focused on WordPress 5.3, is really making efforts and strides at improving the experience around Gutenberg, the plugin, as well. We're still maintaining a 2-week release cycle and improving things as we go, which is really cool.
Now that you mention it, the 2 weeks release cycle, are we expecting a Gutenberg plugin release for the WordCamp US week, which will be next week?
That's a great question. I don't have the answer right now, but I know we're looking at trying to help align contributors around the plugin, like, focus areas more. There'll be a post coming up on Make Core blog sometime in the future from Riyadh about kind of highlighting focuses for the month. And that being said, I know that's kind of a walk around, a bad answer to your question there, but I don't know. I don't know.
So we watch the core-editor Slack channel to see what's going to happen. Yeah. There's and the Wednesday meeting definitely will let us know. Speaking of the focus areas, there are some experiments in Gutenberg 6.7. There's a major part is the menu navigation block, the iteration around that. Then there's also initial state on top level pages. They're fixing some menu alignment on that. Has experiments around the block directory as well. And of course, the widget screen that is still in iteration and experimental stage had to get it to use blocks in widget areas or block areas.
Yeah.
And then there were some bug fixes, right, Mark?
Yeah, so bug fixes, 37.
Wow.
A lot of them are being backported to 5.3, which is fantastic. Among these were, like, items like fixing the heading or the headings and the paragraph colors inside the cover block, closing the Nux tips, new user experience tips tips that pop up for a new user, allowing those to close by clicking away from the tip. There were fixing the block preview padding and how those previews work in the inserter panel. When you hover over a specific block, you get a preview of that block now. And on blocks where we don't have previews, we wanted to make sure we included some text there that said no preview available. It's just a lot of little bug fixes that really tighten up the whole experience altogether. There was also a performance improvement from Ella. She was working on avoiding continuously reset the browser selection. So there's a PR around that, and she improved that performance. And then we had some documentation in various items as well, right, Birgit?
Oh, yeah. There were documentation items. There was only one thing apart from the typos and tweaks that are happening on an ongoing basis. It was the examples for the data controls for the WordPress script on the data controls are now in documentation. And they're now also, they work now. So they catch up with all the different development that was done in Gutenberg. Yeah. On the various kind of section of the release notes, I only want to point out about three things of that. One of it is that there is now a WordPress environment package with a zero config self-contained local WordPress environment available, and they cleaned up the dash icon component. And the last one is that for the block preview that Mark mentioned earlier, and that is that the images need to were slowing down the whole thing, and they are now using the content distribution network on WordPress.org for the images, and that's a major implementation there.
Really spent some time and talked about how do we do that, right? Like, you have the image block. Well, you can't really show a preview of the image block without an image, right? But right. So how do we do this with self-contained software? Do we include the image in the software itself? And what about licensing behind these images? We were looking at, you know, public domain stuff for a bit, and we're looking at other companies that offered like open licensing and stuff, but nothing was really working. We even tried like Base64 encoding these images into the software itself, but the file size was too big coming out of that. So we really we worked with the meta team on .org and managed to upload some open license images and onto the CDN there, and we're pulling from there now in the software, and it seems to be working great.
Awesome. Yeah.
And then let's see. So moving on to some of the active development that's happening in Gutenberg right now. It's a pretty exciting part. Let's see, last Friday, I just posted, and I kind of posted the Gutenberg design update post that I normally do on Fridays, but this time I really wanted to focus on full site editing, because that is happening. We are moving towards this right now. I kind of wanted to gather a good list of resources and links of the issues and the PRs and everywhere that the conversation is kind of happening and the development is being built out, and package it all in this one post so that everybody could kind of read through it and click off and go investigate where they might be able to contribute and leave some feedback for the people involved. But I kind of broke it up into three sections. Is that right, Birgit? I think I did a section on full site editing where we talked about block areas and full site editing and entities and sources and hit up some of those key issues and PRs. And there's a whole nother section about modes. Like, we're discussing about like having an edit mode, a navigation mode. We kind of introduced this navigation mode a little bit ago in Gutenberg for like keyboard navigation. But then, you know, other people bring up, well, what about the code editor, right? That's a mode. How do we include that in these various modes, and how do we make it easy to switch through these modes? And then Johan, who's a fantastic designer, you know, brings up like, what if we don't consider these as modes, but what if we look at them as tools? and really causes you to like take a step back and rethink about how we're talking about these things. And if we look at like a toolbar, you know, in Adobe Photoshop or something, and you select a specific tool to perform, do a certain thing in your palette or in your document there. And if we kind of like envision these modes as being kind of a way or tools in a way to react or to work within Gutenberg itself. But anyways, I'm going off on these tangents, but I also included a little bit about block patterns as well, because that's a thing. And we need to help support the users and people who are using WordPress with predefined beautiful layouts of blocks that they can really just implement or include right on their document and just fill in the blanks with content. And so all these areas are being explored. They're all going to touch each other and interrelate with each other, and finding those connection points can be big for us.
Yeah. And it's definitely early stages there. So if you have opinions or want to just see what the discussion is going to go around, any input would be really, really helpful for exploring all these different areas. I also put in the show notes an exploration plugin that Constantine Obenland did for Automattic for the WordPress.com area, and where he explores that editing with a navigation menu, site description part, template parts, site title, and then a full site editing. And yeah, just kind of see how that's going to work and in real life, pretty much. Yeah, I'm really excited about the layout patterns, which has a great potential in terms, so people don't have to make all those decisions.
Right.
Yeah, if they don't have a vision, it's the blank space that all of a sudden you want to fill. And we know it from writers, we know it from artists or painters, that the empty white space produces a lot of anxiety for creators. So getting over that hump, the first step, and then getting some layout patterns going for the page is really good. And there's a link in there to the GitHub repository issue also in the show notes. So what else? I think we are about, that's the end of the news for today.
I think so.
It's really filled with a lot of information there.
Yeah, I just keep thinking about WordCamp US coming up here, and I'm just getting excited to like get over there, see everybody, meet you, Birgit, and, make some connections there. I love that about WordCamps, is that it's a great opportunity to just meet people in person and get to know them on another level outside of a 64 by 64 pixel avatar.
Yeah.
So my mind, believe it or not, is kind of already traveled there. I'm already at WordCamp US. I'm just waiting for my body to arrive.
Yeah, we are also on the sponsor team. We're kind of head first into the last minute questions and logistical support that we give for the sponsors that are coming. There are 58 sponsors.
Wow.
And on various different levels, and it's going to be really awesome. If you and there's also Sunday is the contributor day. If you're there and you're gonna stay over Sunday, there are two things that I wanted to point out to you. And even if you're not there, there are interesting links for you to contribute to Gutenberg development. And if you don't know where to start, Greg Jolkowski identified good first issues on the GitHub repository. I'll also throw in the link to the WordPress development environment that you can get on GitHub. And then for non-dev contributors, you can follow the needs testing label in the repository. What is that? The needs testing means, okay, somebody logged an issue on Gutenberg, and now it helps when somebody else double checks that issue and figuring out if it has all the information and if you can reproduce the issue and then comment on it. That anybody could do who has the latest version of Gutenberg, and can. That's really helpful for issue gardening and moving it along. So that's really cool. But I, and Mark, you are going to be at Contributor Day as well.
Yeah, I've been asked to lead up the testing table, probably because I'm the one posting these Gutenberg usability tests pretty monthly on the Make Test blog. So I'll be there at the testing table and we'll talk about, you know, various ways. We'll also look into like ways in which we can test and help confirm bugs. But we'll look also at ways in which we can maybe do usability testing, writing scripts for you to usability tests. I'm always kind of struggling with writing scripts myself on a monthly cycle to start doing usability tests every month in Gutenberg. So I'm sure that there are people out there who have more experience than I at this and can probably whip up some great usability testing scripts that I could use in these tests. So Contributor Day is fantastic for getting involved though. And I want to point out that just how awesome the Gutenberg team is at identifying that there's a big event coming up and then spending time in the repo to prepare it for contributors that day. Like Greg's work to go through and identify good first issues. I know other people are involved in this and adding labels, organizing things, preparing it all to help out the contributors that are going to show up that day to make their experience as wonderful as possible.
Yeah, that's awesome. So may I ask you a question about the usability tests? Who are the people kind of following those scripts? How do you find them?
So I'm using a service called UserBrain right now, and it's a paid service where I just kind of post up some scripts. I order some testing videos. A lot of times these people may be completely new to WordPress. Other times they've had some experience, and in some cases they're familiar with Gutenberg. So it's really very new people to Gutenberg that I'm testing, and I'll test scenarios, I'll test layout patterns, and lately, like this month, I'm really just trying to test out the various ways in which Gutenberg allows you to align items side by side right now and see how people do it within Gutenberg. Like if people are familiar with a gallery option or a columns option or even like the media text block, you know, and having people talk out their process really gives me insight into ways in which we can improve that experience. And so,
excellent.
Yeah, it's really very fairly new people, but it kind of opens my eyes and hopefully others as we watch these videos and see how people use the software.
Yeah, I think it's a crucial part of the development process to figure out, okay, now we have this thing, can people actually use it? So, all right. So people, dear listeners, thank you for joining us today. As always, we have the show notes on the gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And this was episode number 8. And if you have questions or suggestions or news you want us to include in the next show, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. And that's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. So this is it. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you at WordCamp US or any other place online.
Definitely. Thank you, everybody, for our listeners listening. And we appreciate it. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.